Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of All Booked, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Sabrina is back for round two with two books, The Overachiever.
Hopefully she just gets more books every time.
Yes, that is your personal challenge.
That would be awesome.
So she is bringing Ellie and the Heartmaker and The Rosie Project.
Yes, and I'm so excited about it. I read Ellie and the Heartmaker, and I was just like, I've got to tell everyone about this book. And so I immediately wrote you guys. I was like, can I please do a podcast?
Yeah. Now, it's really not the same author though, right?
No. It is not.
So why are they together for someone who has no idea?
So I only wanted to talk about Ellie and the Heartmaker. Mm-hmm. And of course, I told everyone that I could possibly tell the day after I read it.
Yes.
And they were like, that sounds like The Rosie Project. Have you read it? And I'm like, there's more books like what I just read. Please send them my way. And so I immediately picked it up and then over the weekend read The Rosie Project. And although I do find them the similarities that they discuss, they're actually, like, in my opinion, so different. Like, very different.
And where is the author for Ellie and the Heartmaker from? Because I know the author for The Rosie Project is from Australia.
And I believe Ellie and the Heartmaker is from England.
Okay.
Her author, which is Hazel Pryor, I believe she is also from England, which is where the book is set. Mm-hmm. As well. It's okay. In Exmoor, England.
And The Rosie Project, the author is
Australian. It is.
Australian.
Yes. And I'm probably going to butcher it. Graeme Simpson?
Okay. So Graeme Simpson. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Something there. Which is super interesting because he has two follow-up books to The Rosie Project. Okay. And Ellie and the Heartmaker is a new book. So far, there's nothing coming down the pipe for that one.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So which one do you want to talk about? Or you still haven't finished talking about why they were similar, have you?
Well, I kind of talked about they were similar in the fact that I read Ellie and the Heartmaker and I picked up on one of the characters probably has autism. Maybe I'm thinking more Asperger's because he's more high functioning. Granted, I don't have anyone in my family that has autism or is on the spectrum, but my best friend's brother has Asperger's. So I grew up really close to Preston for the last 16, 17 years. So I picked up on it really quick, but it was subtle. Like, if I hadn't had the experiences that I had, I don't know if I would have picked up on it as quickly. It was more of this, like, undertone and this, like, the little bits and pieces that just revealed it to you. Mm-hmm. And as the book progressed, and then as you got about halfway to three-fourths of the way through, you were like, oh, no, he definitely, wow, he actually does. I didn't realize.
Is it told from his voice?
So this is where it gets even cooler. Ellie is one of the characters. She introduces herself as a housewife. And then Dan is the other character. And he is a harp maker. He makes Celtic harps. And so, which is really unique. Did I say it wrong?
And that's a very involved skill.
No, you didn't. I thought it was Ellie and the harp maker, but now I realize you were saying harp the whole time.
Harp. Yes, it's very hard to
Okay, yes, he makes the harps.
Not
yes.
to be confused with Heartbreaker.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. And so they meet because she was out exploring because she needed a break, a mental break, and out exploring hark-ish type of thing that they have there, and came upon his barn where he makes harps and was just blown away by his harps, and he just gave her one. And she was like, wait, no, why? And he was like, it matches your socks. And it was made of cherry wood, and she had, like, cherry-colored socks. And And at first you think that's so absurd, like, oh my gosh, but like he really meant it from like a place of kindness and like it
genuine.
I really think that this harp I made would be perfect for you. Please take it.
But aren't those worth like thousands?
Thousands.
Very expensive.
And so her husband makes her take it back because that's too expensive. He wants something. You didn't understand him right. Like, you owe this man money. Like, take the harp back. So she does, but she's torn. She is just like, she's never been musical. She's never done anything like that. But
she's like in love with this harp.
But she's in love with this harp. And it's on her like before 40 list.
Okay.
Like, things wants to do before 40 was learn to play the harp. And so it was like super cool. And so she tells a little bit of a white lie and starts learning how to play the harp at Dan's barn. So downstairs in the wood shop, he makes harps, and upstairs in like a spare bedroom that's kind of soundproof in a way, he gave her a couple of harp playing books and she starts teaching herself. And so every day when her husband would go to work, she would clean the house and then she would, she's a housewife and that's what she did. And then she would head up to the barn and learn to play the harp.
Although honestly, if there's an inoffensive instrument to like practice and learn, it'd probably be the harp. Like, that's, yeah.
I mean, very much associated with angels. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was just, it was so intriguing because it goes chapter by chapter. It switches perspectives between mm-hmm. Ellie and Dan. And what was so cool was that you would spend a few days in Ellie's perspective and then you would spend the next few days in Dan's. You would never see the same incident
or the same day
from both of their perspectives. Yeah. So if something awful happened and Ellie was super sad about it, you know, it would change chapters and then Dan would see the aftermath of the next few days of mm-hmm. Ellie's not smiling as much as she normally does. Her smile's not reaching her eyes. Like, she seems sad. She just wants to curl up and look at the fire. Like, I don't really know. And Dan, you know, I don't really know if something's going on, but I'm going to take her on a walk, you know? And so it was really cool because you got to see the cause and the effect and the contrast between how they were perceiving each other and what each other was going through without ever seeing them actually really interact, like, with that inner monologue.
Now, there was no romantic anything between the two of them, right?
Not at first, no.
Okay.
No.
It seemed like a very intimate friendship almost.
It seems like it, and that's where this... the Ellie and the Harp Maker and the Rosie Project changes is because Ellie and the Harp Maker was way more serious and got a little dark.
Like, oh, wow.
And
okay.
Because in the same way that you subtly pick up that Dan's on the spectrum, you figure out that her husband's abusive.
Oh.
And it's in a way, spoiler, I guess, but but it's in a way where you pick up on it fairly quickly. But like at first, it just makes you second guess yourself. Like, wait, was he manipulating her? Was he?
Which would
mean that
how it would feel to be in her shoes.
How it would feel, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, like, by halfway through, I felt like I myself was wrong. I was like, man.
Like you were being gaslighted by
the
book.
Yes, yes. And I was just like, what am I?
Understand.
Is he abusive?
Did he really do that?
Did he mean to break her favorite picture frame? It had to be an accident. Like, he brought her flowers and a necklace last week. You know, like,
yeah.
It was like. And then I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And so it does take a more dark and dramatic turn. And there is a twist at the end. So I will not reveal that. But upon reading it, I picked it up just because of the front cover, because it's beautiful. We'll spin it
can
around
you
for you guys.
Describe it for us?
Yeah.
Yes, I can. So it is just this beautiful, almost like wedding invitation font mm-hmm. in like a nice navy, and the book background is white, but there's a pheasant on top of Ellie's name and then a couple of pheasant feathers that float down to the bottom of the cover, and it caught my attention just because it felt beautiful and simple all mm-hmm. in the same time. And I just picked it up off the shelf one day and was like, I'll read this tomorrow because I have to go to the tax office and the doctor's office and I have a lot of waiting to do. And I was really pleasantly surprised because it's kind of outside of my comfort zone, not mm-hmm. my comfort zone, but like my reading zone. I was drawn to it because of the cover, and then I got done and I was like, oh my goodness, this is not something I would have pegged for myself. And it was just a really terrific read, and it's kind of like I've held it with me for a while, like
and
really
that's a real testament to a good story.
It really is. And so when I was recommended the Rosie Project, I read it I read it in a day type of feel. It was more comical, light, almost like a fluffy, hilarious. He's also on the spectrum, but he doesn't really know. Like, he just knows he's kind of different, and the way he sees things is different. He's on a hunt to find a wife, but he doesn't think he's suitable, you know, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. And he meets Rosie, who's like the opposite of everything that he is.
Well, and I loved, because I read the Rosie Project, I loved his detailed questionnaire, like,
oh my god,
the application vetting process for a potential.
And he, like, one thing I picked up on was, like, he was so insistent that they couldn't drink, but, like, he himself drinks. And so then he was like, wait, I'm not being self-reflective, I've got to change this question, like, and so it was really interesting. It was a little predictable, you know, like, you kind of knew how it was going to end, and it was a feel-good story.
It was definitely like a fluffy rom-com more than
Whereas Ellie and the Heart Maker, I felt, was kind of like a Lifetime movie in a little bit of a way, like, oh wow, like, this isn't Hallmark, but it's not actually, like, horrible horror. You're not getting anything, like, really dark in it. But there's definitely, like,
stuff.
You're like, whoa, this is how easily things happen.
Yeah.
So,
and I think one thing with Rosie Project, even though it is fluffy and light and fun, it doesn't feel like a typical romance just because of the voice.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not as easy to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can pick up a small romance, you know, like, novel and be like, all right, I'm going to get through this in, you know, a couple hours. But this one, I mean, I spent the whole day reading because I'm a loser like that. But
that's not a loser. We completely advocate for that.
Librarian is what you meant.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm a librarian. But yeah, it wasn't so much that I could read as quickly or, yeah. You know, there was a lot more information to process just because of the way he writes and tells his perspective. So.
And I also think there are a lot of stereotypes with, like, normal romance novels, putting that in quotes, that it doesn't seem like that portrays. Like yes, there's some comedy, but it's not necessarily like cheesy. Like,
absolutely
love all you romance readers out there. So what are some major things that you did find similar between the two books, since you did have people who were very sure that it was a similar kind of book?
Yeah, absolutely. So the two things that were very similar in both books were that they were told from the perspective of someone who's on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so Ellie and the Heartmaker, it flipped chapter to chapter from Ellie and then Dan. But the Rosie Project is fully, you know, told from that perspective. And so I could see why, you know, that was recommended. Oh, mm-hmm. Like there's, you know, that's just like the Rosie Project, which I don't think there's many books out there like that. Or
well,
if there is.
There's also the Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Yes. That was the other recommendation
like
I got.
Yeah. That's like a child narrator. So I could see how some people would be.
Even though it's a child narrator, it's a little bit darker.
Yes, it is pretty dark. I could see, though, why someone wouldn't recommend that from Ellie and the Heartmaker from description, just because it is very different. It's like kind of like a mystery. It's like mm-hmm. about a teen / tween.
He's solving the mystery of who murdered the neighbor's dog.
It's very important.
I see. Okay. I did get that was also on the
It's a very good book, so. Yeah.
But other than that, I really didn't think that they were that similar.
Okay.
Because Ellie and the Heartmaker is all about, she's like a very dependent person. She wants to like find out more about life. She wants to explore. She wants to, you know, be the person she always said she was going to be. Whereas it's very to the point with the Rosie Project. Like, he's looking for a wife. And, and Rosie's looking for her dad and for the Father Project. So there's there's two very like direct
so that probably projects. It feels like that to me speaks to the fact that there aren't enough books out there with narrators that have different voices. Like the fact that you can read a book that isn't very similar, but because the narrators have something that a lot of other narrators don't, people are immediately calling to mind like the other book, you
right,
know,
right.
Of the very many books out there, the other like few books they have that are similar.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It was a really interesting, it opened up my mind to so much more of what the reader's perspective could be,
yes.
You know, and that like Ellie and the Heartmaker brought me into the story and captivated me to the point where I was at the tax office for an hour and a half and didn't even realize I'd been there that long, you know, like waiting in line.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm 75 pages in, like, holy cow, the story has just captivated me. And that's, I think there's something to say about that, you know, as a reader, like that's what a terrific author.
What kind of reader would you recommend for these two? And would it be the same reader?
So I've been recommending Ellie and the Heartmaker to literally everyone I meet and see. So I would recommend that one to anyone who likes fiction, maybe likes a little bit of romance, but isn't into all the lovey-dovey feels.
Yeah.
There's a lot of feels in there, but it's not all lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. So I think that one is more for someone who's interested in that. The Rosie Project, anyone similar, you know, with those similar views, but also for someone who just wants to read something fun and lighthearted and you know, have a good time, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you want one of those refresher books.
Yes, yeah, that's a great way.
I even found them because, if I remember correctly, The Rosie Project has very little that's offensive in it. So I even found it is a good recommendation for people that want clean reads.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But don't necessarily want to read the inspirational collection.
Yep, absolutely. That's a good place to put that. What were your thoughts on The Rosie Project?
So I read it several years ago, but I just thought it was good fun.
That's
like I said, I kept cracking up at especially like all of his requirements.
Yes. Yeah. He had
I think
a
I'd gotten.
Yeah. They're almost unattainable.
Yes.
Yes. There's another probably spicier romance novel that actually has a female character who is on the spectrum, which I thought was really interesting because I don't think that's something that people think about. Even just in science, like the way autism and Asperger's are diagnosed, women don't fall on the spectrum in their opinion because the
characteristics
are different. Like heart attacks being different, like you know, the way that you, I don't know, act in normal social engagements being different. So I thought it was really interesting to read that from someone, a narrator's perspective, especially a female one. Although, who knows how realistic it really is. I don't know, I'm always worried when I read books that were written about characters who don't have a voice very often, if the author doesn't have some experience with it. How did you feel they did, like, portraying them? Like, do you think the main characters in both of the novels?
So I have an education background, so mm-hmm. I took a lot of classes for that, being able to differentiate your classroom to, like, help children who are on the spectrum. And I felt like Ellie and the Heartmaker just nailed it.
Yeah.
I was really blown away by how they didn't do all of the stereotypes.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't just hit all of the normal things that you're like,
she Googled a list.
Yeah, like, there it is. Like, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. But there were subtle things on when Dan was talking about he hopes that Ellie doesn't invite him to her birthday party because the last birthday party he went to, he could only stay for 9 minutes because he didn't like the noise and he ran out and had to cover his ears. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, that is, you know, something that children on the spectrum, you know, which is the only real, like, experience that I have as far as, like, looking at exact characteristics, you know, that I have. And so that was so true, like, noise sensitivity, you know, can't
sensory
be
sensory overload,
sensory, absolutely.
And the idea that it's not necessarily about not socializing, it's about not having certain triggers,
right?
Yeah
absolutely. And so with the Rosie Project, I also felt like it was very accurate, like, there I mean, the way he was matter of fact and he didn't pick up on emotion and he would double check himself.
Wasn't he a mathematician or statistician?
He's a geneticist.
Okay.
Yes,
I knew it was one of those, like, hard science type.
Yes. Okay. And he was really, he couldn't pick up sarcasm, but he knew that he couldn't pick up sarcasm because he's in his 40s.
That's one of my favorite scenes in the book.
Yeah, so he would stop and think about it. And then he would wait for the person to kind of, like, either break and laugh or be like, oh, I'm just joking. You know, like, let him know.
Waiting for some context clues.
Yeah, waiting for the context clues. And it was like, that is literally, like, high functioning autism. Like, when you're in your 40s and you've established, like, these places of where you know what you don't necessarily pick up on and how to handle that in social situations. Mm-hmm. So I felt they were both, like, they hit the nail on the head, in my opinion. But like I said, I don't have a lot of experience other than, like, I took the classes, I've been in the classroom, and then my best friend's brother.
Yeah.
So
I think that's all the questions I had.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing two fantastic books. Now, I know the Rosie Project was published a while ago. Is Ellie and the Heartmaker new?
Yes. It was published in August of 2019.
Oh, nice.
So it's still fairly new. And I just in awe of that book, man. I just can't get over
that
it.
That goes to show that if you see a book that has a pretty cover, you should judge it on that and pick it up.
That's
what we do all the time. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. And definitely pick this one up.
Definitely.
You can tell Sabrina if you think the cover is as pretty as she thinks it is.
Yes please let me know. I would love to hear your thoughts.
All right, stay tuned for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.